City Community Dialogue, Friday, March 14, 1969. 1, report from the Interim Committee. 2, special training for news media personnel.
Thing is that
okay. Let me sit in when he leaves. You two will abstain. But are not in fact minutes. They are in fact a recorded summary of what happened. Say something into that mic. Oh, it's a feedback now. I can
hear you. Can hear you.
It should be recording. Is it taped to the 10? Is it what is it over there?
You're an engineer.
Do
what
have you do with your job, man?
I think you do with your job. Oh, they're even laughing. That TV instead of recording.
Well, I mean, I think we have that machine. It must be someone new working on it.
It is someone new. All right, so we take a few minutes out then and look over these minutes. The last one for March 14th.
The 28th, yeah.
February 14th, February 28th. February 14th, February 28th. I correct that on the tape, please. Any comments? Let's move on then to the agenda. Again, for those that are new, let's stop for a moment and make some introductions. For we have two city personnel that are here for the first time. And I'm simply going to ask them to introduce themselves. We're glad to have you. And would you start up here, John, please?
Yes, I'm John Witt, the new city attorney. This is my first time at a community dialogue, and I plan this time to sit and listen and educate myself. I'm glad to see many friends here, and those who I don't know, I wish you'd take the opportunity to introduce yourself sometime during the morning. Thank you.
My name is Ray Blair. I'm assistant to the city manager for public and employee relations. Today marks the end of my second week as an employee of the city of San Diego. And I'm glad I could join in the dialogue here this morning.
Glad to have you, Ray, and John. Is there any other official here who hasn't been here? An official? Oh, yes.
Rose Richardson, an associate counselor representative, San Diego State Service Manager.
All right, we're glad to have you. Any other that I might have missed? Now, for those who are here again, including the three that just introduced themselves, the purpose of the dialogue is to examine issues through feelings and attitudes, as well as through facts or discussion or logic. The purpose is to have people come to a greater understanding of what our conditions are all about through direct interaction and confrontation here at this table. Feelings are facts. So we're not concerned with how strong the feelings are or how weak they are. They're important. We have a couple of rules. One is that we do not attack individuals, however. And now and then, of course, that's going to happen, so we try to do our best to move it back to attacking the issue. And the other rule is we try to give those persons a chance to have something to say, to have that say, and assume that that position is legitimate too until re-examined or until it's changed. So, looking at the agenda, we were to start directly with item number one. We have a report from the interim committee.
I think that we'll pass on that report, Carol, because some of the decisions we made were thereby kind of substituted, and that this Wednesday we need again to decide to do it.
We'll have another report then, a report next time. I have two items before me which are perhaps priority in spite of the fact that we were to start exactly immediately with number two, because Chuck Johnson, who has a report for us from last time, has to go immediately, and then Peter Kay has to go and be there by 11 or leave here by 11, which is easy. Be there at 11. And there's a matter on the agenda that I have in front of me relating directly to Kev and Peter Kay. So first, Chuck, since you have to leave immediately, is it something you want to tell us about your meeting also in addition to the other report? Is it something that we should know about?
I just want to wrap it all up.
All right, would you take a few minutes and wrap it up? We get you out of the way and out of the door and move back to Peter Kay.
Okay. All right, fine. One thing that was discussed at the last meeting was involvement of the broadcast media into employment and other areas of their communication toward the public. I just recently returned from a meeting in New Orleans, Louisiana, of a meeting of black disc jockeys and television announcers that had problems. In fact, they have many problems. One thing is like problems of getting employment, getting jobs into this field. Now, back in 1964, I made a study for the FCC pertaining to employment and opportunities in the broadcast media, which came up with some facts. About that time, we had over out of over 60,000 people employed at nearly 5,000 radio stations, fewer than 600 Negroes was working at only about 110 stations. In 21 northern states, had really no Negroes hired at all, other than janitorial duties. We find that the greatest percentage of Negroes is hired at Negro-oriented stations in the South. Coming to the point right now where the FCC is really taking a big step into making trying to make things better in this area, because the first week of July of this summer, the FCC came out with this booth for the black announcers. The Federal Communication Commission announced that it will not renew any license or of any broadcasters guilty of racial discrimination as part of a new policy. The FCC will require all stations seeking license renewal to show they have taken positive actions to promote employment and programming aimed at minority groups. That means that each station is required to carry minority-type programming. You find most stations broadcast over 18 hours a day, some 24 hours a day, and have no percentage of any type of minority broadcasting or to the minority population. In this city, you find a whole bunch of stations here are guilty of this. In fact, in other words, this is one reason why we have problems in communicating. That's communicating between races and finding, in other words, problems out, because whites know very little about the black community, but the black community knows everything about the white community because of the one-sided programming on television and radio. So, actually, right now, we had a chance to talk with an FCC representative in New Orleans when we had the meeting, and they are urging every announcer that belongs to our National Association of Television and Radio Announcers, I mean announcing organizations, to go back to their home areas, and if they can find any radio station or any TV station that is carrying on this discrimination hiring policy, or are not covering, carrying on black programming or minority program, that the FCC will be right there, ready to find out the reason why. And if they have any license pending, they won't get it. So you have radio stations and television stations that cost, you know, like in the thousands of dollars and the millions of dollars to set up. But it's one little license that could hold up their whole operation. And it's something which the FCC is a government grant, a federal government grant, and that's in violation of the Civil Rights Act if they violate any portions of it. So like any citizen that has a complaint against the broadcast media for not fair coverage, that's inadequate reporting or anything else, could hold the station license at jeopardy. And this is the report which I have to make on it. If I have any questions.
All right. He's open for questions. Comments? Dave?
I have a question. What your definition of minority programming is?
Well, the minority program is deemed to your minority, you know, black and brown, you know, oriental, or any type of program, group that has the majority of the minority in the area.
How would you break that down? What techniques would you use?
You mean what he would use personally now, or what he's referring to?
What he would recommend using, or what he would use?
Well, it's not the form where I'm in a position to recommend using. I think the TV station and radio station, those areas where they're lacking in their programming, because when you have a percentage of like blacks in the area, and the Mexican in the area, well then this, your promise to the commission states, in other words, that you have to give programming service to the general market if you're licensed for the general market. And general market is a breakdown, how much percentage of the entire market will you gear to your programming, you see.
Right. Okay. But I have one other question, though. It has always bothered me about this, because on the one hand, we want to, and we are expected to, and even, as you point out, required to, program to the minority community as well as the majority community. And yet, I have a funny feeling that the minute we try to find something different about minority people, that we are really doing wrong.
Well, but it's not in the area of finding anything wrong with minority people.
No, I didn't say that. What I say is, what kind of programming can we provide that is specifically designed for minority people?
A program that can spread better communication, a better image of that community, and a better better image of the accomplishments of that community.
Okay. Because we're really talking about general programming.
Well, not necessarily, but you have to show locally. In other words, the networks, I believe, now are coming out, say, on a national basis, including blacks in the mainstream of their programming, you know, and the character roles. But we're not talking about what's happening nationally. We're talking about what's happening locally, you see. And when we can spread a better image of our community locally, you see, then we can gain a lot of accomplishments, like better hiring understanding, because the average white will not hire a black because he really knows very little about him. He's not confronted with other than the people that work probably in his company or something like that.
But you're not are you not suggesting that now we are going to have a program, let's go on the air and say now we're going to have a program, this program for the next hour or 2 hours or whatever, is just for black people?
Hold up a minute. Mm-hmm. Let's discuss that then. Hold up, Chuck. We're with you, Chuck. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering why you would ask that question. You don't go on the air and say this is a special program for white people.
Right.
You just show the white people. He's saying just show the black people, put them in the same spectrum that you're putting the white people in as far as the advertising and the exposure. What's the difference about it? I don't follow you.
Well,
I really don't follow your questions. Why are you asking the questions you're asking? Why is it necessary? Chuck's statement was very explanatory about involvement, including.
Yes, including and involvement. Yes, I agree and believe in that, and I just want to make sure that he's not suggesting that we come up with a ghettoized programming.
Well, I guess he's suggesting it all. He's just suggesting that you cover the news in the black spectrum as you're doing it white. You got some hot cats running around the black community who are doing the same thing as you cover white cats, hot cats running around the white community.
I agree.
Ray, you want to take that?
Yeah, Chuck, if I remember correctly, there's a, within the last few weeks or days, there was a seminar, I think, Wayne, it was an outgrowth of something related in Urban Coalition. The representative of social or fraternal or...
It hasn't come about yet.
Oh, okay. But it seems to me that one of the problems that these fellas face is getting the kind of information that would allow them to just get to know about the things that they might cover that show what you're trying to say ought to be done. And if that seminar or school is successful, maybe we'll have some more success in that we know how to get the information there, which I would imagine And I'm talking now about the television media primarily because they're here. They'll be in a better position to be able to give the kind of coverage that you'd like to see.
Well, actually,
that's one part of it.
But one thing to sort of help out on that area, you have many talented black newscasters, news reporters that are looking for jobs in the market. In other words, that could they know better about what's happening in the community, and if he would have a free hand to probably give better the better image of that community. But what we have to do now is leave it open for the broadcast media here in this city to find the people to work, even if they have to train them. You see.
Okay.
Yes, I would like to suggest the possibility that maybe the news media does not understand what is being said, that they might then add black to their public relations department, and then in turn this would help broaden the spectrum of their understanding of the community.
You're saying start by hiring them so they'll have the people there.
That's right.
Let's see if we can crystallize so we know what we're talking about. Chuck has reported that the FCC now requires good faith in action. That's just opposed on a piece of paper. Is this correct, Chuck, so far? And that they do these things. Programming for and to minorities and with minorities. And hiring minorities. And program includes the whole spectrum, I suppose. Let's keep it on that level for a moment. Any other questions or reactions?
Well, I have to make one addition to that. One thing that most stations in the country has been recently guilty of is that the type of programming that they have tried to develop, saying, well, this is Negro programming for the Negro market, has not really met up to the agreement of the city. I mean the people of the population is supposed to serve. What I'm referring to is like going out in the street and picking a shoeshine or gardener or something like that, bring them in and say, look, I'm going to teach you to be a television person, you see, and a radio announcer, and calling them some funny name, get on there with a clown program, and this is not the type of thing that the FCC is describing or the community wants.
All right. Another comment? No more questions, sir?
Well, let me close off by saying this. You know, this is a very touchy subject, and back in 1964, my committee, with the National Association of Radio Announcers at that time, made a test case of a radio station, a number one radio station in Los Angeles. And they refused to hire a Negro under any circumstance because they figured this Negro didn't have their sound, or didn't have, Negroes in general didn't have their sound or this type of thing. We took it to the different civil rights organizations in the area and was able to, after negotiations fell down, we initiated the, picketing for about a month. We even took it to Washington, and they had to hire a Negro. See, this ruling stems from our committee with the National Association of Radio Announcers for the FCC to make this new ruling. And so that's why I'm quite familiar with it. And I hope that the stations here in this area can remain with the policy of the city, a city in motion, and to help, in other words, like clear this mess up, because the impression of a community can be brought out through proper broadcasting and proper employment practice in the communication media. A lot of the problems that we're faced in the community with teenagers, with the radical element, the bigots and everything could be erased if In other words, like the television and radio would play a better role, because everything that we discuss in a dialogue or anything all stems from communication. If we can obtain and get the right type of communication, I mean, where the station itself is taking a part, where it's not a person has to come to a station, in other words, and have to buy his own program, but to where he could go in there and say, well, the station will take it up because we figure it's in a public interest. Anyway, on the other hat I wear as president of NAACP in San Diego, this will be one of the things which our organization will be taking up shortly, and I know all aspects of it, so I hope that we can have good negotiations and walk away with no problems where we would have the publicity thing. By the way, NAACP will have its installation of officers this Sunday at the Huskies, on the 2nd of March, and we want to see a lot of people out at 7 o'clock. That's the plug for NAACP.
Getting it all in that one.
Yeah, and so I have to leave now, and if anybody has any questions they like to talk to me privately, they can call me at my number, you know, which is...
Okay, may I thank you for the report and add one other thing we looked into. The last time when you took this assignment, we were talking about specific information, all that published materials, those published materials that FCC puts out. I wonder if you could take time out sometime and see if you can get a hold of some of that for us.
What, the FCC?
Yeah, that's their application practice and all of that.
Well, here, I can give you this article, which was taken from Newsweek, and you can copy it, and I cut that out. And so,
okay.
It's published.
All righty. But thank you.
And here's another little history about what we did there from Broadcasting Magazine. So.
Why didn't I have you here? It's Charles Johnson here.
Yeah.
Not Chuck Johnson.
How about that?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The other matter that, since Peter K. has to go, is a letter from Cure, dated March 12th. I suppose the best way, did you have copies for everybody, Cure?
No.
You didn't? Well, then I guess I'll have to read it.
I don't know.
This is March 12, 1969. This is a letter that we're going to talk about, whichever way Cure has its own presentation. Ready? CAB TV FM, San Diego State College, attention station manager, dear sir. We wish to register our objections to the Peter K. program concerning the school bond, which was shown at 11 p.m. on March 10th. Mr. K.'s comments about Citizens United for Racial Equality, CURE, were inaccurate, unwarranted, and offensive. In its articles of incorporation, some of CURE's purposes are defined as follows, quote, to promote on a community-wide basis the principles of racial equality in San Diego County, to encourage through discussion, through news media, and through individual and group efforts, the implementation of the recommendations contained in the report of the National Advisory Commission on Silver Disorders, etc., unquote. The report of the National Advisory Commission on Silver Disorders, the Bantam Edition, page 25, states, quote, we support integration as the priority education strategy. It is essential to the future of American society, unquote. Paragraph. When the San Diego School Board was asked, quote, what will this big building program do to the racial balance in our schools, unquote, the answer was, quote, that is a separate problem, unquote. 14 of the 26 schools which are to be rebuilt on their present site are racially imbalanced according to the definition recently added to the state administrative code by the State Board of Education. The Lindsley Report of 1966 showed factual evidence of racial imbalance in San Diego schools and recommended that no school
be built which would violate Article 2011 of Title 5 of the California Administrative Code. The board's own statistics show that racial imbalance has increased every year since 1966 in our school. It follows logically, then, that an organization devoted to promoting the recommendations of the Kerner Commission might find itself morally bound to oppose the expenditure of $91 million for school construction by a board which has strongly implied that racial imbalance would not be taken into consideration in the allocation of such funds. The logic is even stronger when we consider that schools could be built which would be both earthquake-proof and racially balanced. Enclosed, wasn't enclosed with this one, maybe it was attached to the other one, I suppose. Enclosed is the statement which was presented to the Board of Education on February 25, 1969, by Mr. C. S. Swift, Chairman of the Board of CURE, which further explains CURE's position. CURE's entire approach was to the Board of Education, and at no time did we urge our members, our readers, or the general public to vote no on the school bond. Mr. K's comments that CURE opposed the school bond because the school board refused to promise to build educational parks can be seen to be totally inaccurate. Simply stated, our position is that the school board must at all times take into account the effect which their decisions will have on racial balance. Paragraph. That Mr. K did not carefully research CURE's position before making his statement was an unfortunate human error made in the heat of a campaign. We could forgive him for his error even though we regret his irresponsibility. It would seem that an educational television station would carefully research the facts on both sides of a controversial issue and would avoid inflammatory language. When Mr. K began to play with acronyms such as labeling CURE as sick, parentheses silly, ill-informed, citizen, kook, parentheses closed, or stooping to the vulgarity of, capitalized, against safe schools, parentheses, which he said he would leave up to the audience to decipher, parentheses closed, then fair-minded people must draw the line. I read that one again and leave out all the parentheses. When Mr. K began to play with acronyms such as labeling CURE as sick, silly, ill-informed, citizen, kook, or stooping to the vulgarity against safe schools, which he said he would leave up to the audience to decipher, then fair-minded people must draw the line. It is true that the program probably did more damage to Mr. K, since it revealed his shallow commitment to truth and accuracy, than it did to CURE, but nevertheless we feel obliged to object. Last paragraph. Through discussion with Mr. K and knowledge of the usual programming of KEBS, we know that our basic philosophies parallel each other. We would hope that in the future we might all work together in a campaign aim to bring about safe and racially balanced schools. Sincerely, Mr. C.S. Swift, Chairman of the Board of Directors, Citizens United for Racial Equality. This is a letter that was handed me. May I ask the CURE representatives first to give us observations and how you want this handled. We asked Mr. K to be here.
Well, I think we just want to say that we do realize that KBEBS is devoted to education and providing more sympathetic opportunity for minorities to be seen and minority news to be reported. And we also feel that the bond issue did have an effect on racial balance, and it was so stated here at the racial dialogue 2 weeks ago. And as a consequence, we were upset that KBEBS would attack a group that was simply pointing this out, and especially in the manner that it was done.
All right.
Peter?
Well, I think this is sort of a little flat between
this organization calling itself CURE and the station. I'm not exactly sure why it was brought to the attention of CIC or the FCC or the Community Task Force on Urban Coalition or Dr. Ernest O'Byrne or any of these other people, but since it was, and since I presume you want to talk about it, I will very briefly.
Well, let me see if I can get it in our orbit to be sure. This is concerned with communication.
Right.
And if I can ask the group, are you saying that this is communicating some of the false images as relates to black and brown as been discussed here? What are you saying?
Well, I think basically it comes back to the same question that Tom Johnson brought up, that we tend to speak to these issues from our own frame of reference. This is one of our problems. I say that, I mean CURE's problem, too. And I think this is, again, an example of failing to really see the issue as it is. Some of the objection I know that people said was that CURE shouldn't take this position because in San Diego, if you take that position, the bond issue will go down. And the whole total implication is basically that this is a racist city, a racist area, and to inject a racist issue is going to damage the position. And I think, I don't know, but I can only assume that, again, this was some of the frame of reference which was used in generating this particular newscast.
Any other comments about the frame of reference that this is within the communications orbit that we've been talking about before Peter reacts?
I think that anything that has to deal with the minority groups and racially mixed groups concerns the community at large. I think this is very much a part of
what we're talking about. Right. Any other comments?
Two or three things, Mr. Chairman, that I gather from it. I don't know whether it's this whole business of racial imbalance is a problem that I don't think is confined to the news media, really.
Well, hold on a minute. We're not discussing the merit of their position or the content therein now. We're discussing whether or not this should be within our orbit to go ahead with here. Does it not come within the orbit of minority communications and what we're all about, you know, doing these sessions on communication?
Yeah, I still say that we have in the letter and the comment by the news media, you have this whole business of racial imbalance, and my concern is, what do you mean by racial imbalance, and how can you correct it? Can the news media correct it, or what can, I mean, it's before the news, now who can correct this whole idea of racial imbalance?
Well, we're not on that yet, Jim, that's why I said,
all right,
we don't want to get on that. Now, you had other points there. Do you think that we should be talking about this in as much as it's part of the news, broadcasting, media, etc.?
Yes, but here again, you've got to give it its proper perspective to talk about it. If it's something that, if it appears to be something that is all based by the news media, then we can talk about it. But the accusation is that the statement made by CURE was dealing with racial imbalance, that the bond issue was promoting, what I gather when you talk about racial imbalance, was promoting a segregated society. This is what I gather about racial imbalance.
You're still on the value of it, so hold off your comments to later on then. I understand where you're going then.
Right.
Hold up there.
Yes, I feel it's very pertinent because in view of the stands that the Chicago Federation took concerning the bond, I would like to say that several of the television stations were very helpful in providing us time and considering us as serious opposition. In I cannot say that for the printed news because there was a total wipeout in in many instances, of our position. It just did not exist. We were not serious in our opposition.
All right. You feel it's in the air. Any other comments? Around the table, anybody? All right. I would think as chairman that it is part of the, regardless of the value of that position, that or imbalance defined means this or means that, to the degree that it seems to be involving the total areas that we're covering here, I think it is. All right, Peter.
Well, first of all, I would want to point out that I think our record as a station speaks for itself. There is no one media in town that is more dedicated to presenting the views of the black and brown community than we are. And as I say, I think our record speaks for itself. I think if we had made any remark on this or any other program in a racist way, in a way that was at all derogatory, this might be a subject for a rather heated discussion. The comments were directed at CURE, which is a more or less self-starting group that says it's for racial equality. It has, may or may not have a coarse record. I don't want to engage in the type of personalities that they did in the letter. I think that this, as I say, is purely a fight between the group and myself, I guess, not even the station, because I want to make it clear these views are my own and purely my own. They represent a commentary on my behalf. They are not a station editorial as such, nor did we make any position on the bond issue other than the one that I stated. Now, to get into the letter itself, which I'll try to answer rather briefly, this is an angry letter, obviously. But it's kind of a petulant, whining sort of an anger there. The kind of an anger that a child who picked a fight and then got called a name and would come whining to somebody else for support. It's not the good, healthy anger that you can develop in a community controversy or in this dialogue even. I find it hard to... I've heard of poor losers in my day. These people won. I still... You won by 3.5% is what the bond issue failed to get from passing. And it may be that this little group had a voice and was instrumental in that close an election and swinging it. And it was on that basis that I, feeling that that probably would be the outcome, that it would fall short, that I did do this program. Now let me get into the letter itself and try to clear up a few things. First of all, it was stated it was shown at 11 p.m. on March 10th. It was also shown at 10 p.m. on March 9th. I make this point because this was 2 days before the election. A whole month before that, I had done another program in which we had gone out to these schools, had gone into the basement of San Diego High School, had looked at the rotten supports for the building, had looked at the crumbling bricks and the mortar. We had done a program on that and made the same position then, a whole month earlier. And having heard no reaction to that, we went ahead and did this one. Having heard no reaction to that until after the fact, when the phone started ringing and when Mr. Swift came into my office. So I point this out to show that we were always available to be contacted by these people, but that it didn't happen until after the fact, to tell them the truth that they'd won. Now, as far as the charges being inaccurate, unwarranted, and offensive, I won't go into the logic that we considered that schools could be built which were both earthquake-proof and racially balanced. I don't know exactly how you build a racially balanced school.
Well, that isn't what they're asking. Let's see if I can get you back where we can discuss this meaningfully. They are really not concerned with your position, if I'm reading them right. We can forget the position of Peter Kay and the chair of this office, if I'm understanding you right. They are talking about what they consider to be, call it responsible reporting, balanced reporting, contextual reporting, whatever. They're talking about something to do with your handling of it. Chip?
Well, Peter, see, when I talked to you right now, I didn't call you petulant, poor loser. I didn't use those words. I think you've injected this. I think you injected this the very night you made the broadcast, and that's exactly what we're objecting to. And we're objecting to it not because we're a little white organization or anything else, but because, again, as far as we're concerned with the larger racial issue here, and we can't help but feel, even though we're a white organization, that there was some of this lack of seeing the frame of reference. Lack, again, really lack of objectivity.
Well, again, I won't get into the name-calling either. I read the words irresponsible, unfortunate, totally inaccurate, inflammatory.
Well, I think they're a little different than petulant.
No, they are. You're right there. And I get to the specific to get to the specific position here, that I did not carefully research Cure's position, and that the school board refused to promise to build educational parks. Well, that, Mr. Swift, is not exactly what I said, but I can forgive you that, because if you say you didn't see the program, so you got your information secondhand.
The person that wrote the letter saw the program.
What I said was that CURE had opposed this because they, organization, believed that the school board did not move quickly enough to integrate the school. Now, if that's a misstatement of your position, I apologize for it. What I said further was that the school board was being in a position, being criticized by organizations such as CURE, on the one hand, because they didn't move fast enough, and by being criticized by organizations on the far right side of the spectrum because they felt they were moving too fast. And it was being in a position, if I can remember my own language, of being damned if they did and damned if they didn't. And I believe that it was an unfair approach. That I further believe that this bond issue did not have anything specifically to do with integrating schools, a position that obviously you don't agree with.
Right, but again, we're not objecting to that. See, that's your right and privilege, and that's the
reason. Yeah, but I'm also pointing out how I stated your position, which, if I understand by this enclosure, is that you are committed to end of de facto segregation. Therefore, I can assume that you're in favor of integration. Is that not right?
Yeah.
Now, as far as the educational part, that I picked up out of press reports on the meeting. If, in truth, you are not in favor of an educational park, and I have misstated that position, I apologize for that. If you are in favor of an educational park, then obviously we have nothing to talk about on that. Now, to the matter of acronyms, or inflammatory language, we talked about that, the use of the word silly, which I guess is a value judgment. I considered your position as silly. I still do. As far as ill-informed citizen kooks, citizen, I guess we don't argue about. The kooks, again, is a matter of values.
What about the word sick before you get to silly?
Well, sick, obviously, is...
was that used, or you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The other word being ill-informed, I think we discussed that at some length. You tried to convince me that you were informed. If I take your word for it, and if you were really informed and took the position, then I think we agreed that maybe I would better change it from ill-informed to irresponsible. So, again...
Well, we're not arguing about the ill-informed because, again, this is a judgment. We won't argue about that.
So you're objecting to the acronym SICK.
Yeah, SICK, Billy, Coops, right.
Well, again, let's put the other one, which I'll get to in just a moment. As far as the against safe schools, I think that's a fair definition. Again, in my mind, you oppose the bond issue. I happen to have seen those schools. I know how unsafe they are. And if that bond issue failed, which it did, and if my children, I do not have children in this school district, but if I had that on my conscience, I would feel pretty strongly about it.
And I happen to feel very strongly about it. I've seen those schools. I know what can happen if even a minor earthquake should hit the school. As far as the acronym on it, if you consider that as a vulgarity, or if you're shocked by that, well, you've got a rather low shocking point. As far as the doing more damage to me, again, that's a value judgment on your part. I can tell you now from the reaction I've had, including from members of racial minorities, it's been generally, I would say, on the plus side. There have been objections such as yours. Finally, about all I can say is that you put yourself in a position, in a public position, by taking a strong stand on this bond issue. You opposed it. I felt very strongly that it should be passed. You inserted yourself into this fight. Perhaps my big mistake was paying any attention and giving you the publicity which you now have, and which you'll get more of out of this meeting today. But I did that, and it was a judgment on my part, and I don't regret it. And I can only say this, that when you're in a fight, you fight hard, you use strong language. If you win, you win. I'm willing to accept, at least until the thing comes up again, the decision of the voters, and to be a good winner, or to be a good loser. That's right, we didn't win. To be a good winner, I would expect you to be. As far as working together in the future, I certainly would work together in any campaign to bring around safe and racially balanced schools. But whether you can do it at the same time, I don't know. I think if a patient has cancer and has heart disease, you don't refuse to treat the cancer because it doesn't do his heart any good.
Peter, you're talking about the content in your position again now. Let's get over and look at Peter. He's given us his observation.
Could I, by way of maybe defining some areas of broadcast activity, maybe this would help clarify what's going on here.
If it's technical.
I think it has some. There is a difference between commentary and reporting of the news. What we have here is commentary. Commentary contains personal opinion and perception. Reporting may be affected by perception and personal opinion, but should be, usually is, based on simply a straight reporting of facts. If that helps clarify what's going on here in terms of this battle, what we have here is input and reaction and in the community, like kind of dialogue, and like what goes on here.
Yes.
Well, in commentary, Dave, and I think this is something I'm not clear on at all. If, and not necessarily an accusation is made, but this a type thing that sets a perception of something made, and I think the part is that all of this has nothing to do with the fact that one has a stand that's in opposition to another stand, but a thing that gets that much deeper and older, and I think that it's always been a concern of minority groups, but perhaps it's just starting to be felt by majority groups that take on a minority view, that the first thing you do is discredit the validity and accountability of the witness, as we have seen evidence in cases where citizens' groups might be for a police review board because they know so much of what has happened in the minority community and see this as the only thing, then immediately you must discount that group and put them down rather than deal with the proposition that they're forwarding. Or student unrest, if the students have a legitimate complaint, a legitimate concern, instead of dealing with that, we often will say they're communist inspired,
and get a label placed on them where you can no longer deal with the issue because you have taken them out of the arena of credibility. And this is what I think I see, and maybe I'm wrong in this, is that Cure feels they have been taken out of the arena of credibility by a news media, and how do you respond to that? How are you able, in the David and Goliath arena, to combat that? Now, if it's editorializing, as you say, is it through FCC or through a station commitment? Is it incumbent upon that station, then, to give equal time to Cure or to any group that they may have said this about? I'm not saying they're not making charges of these people are sick or something like this. They're saying this is their perception of that group related to this issue. I think he's saying related to this issue, not that that's necessary. That's what he thinks about that group in total. So I'm wondering if in that context there is some way.
I think the way I see it, it's just a question of poor taste in using name-calling as a technique, I think, of in describing Cure. I don't know. I listened to Peter Kay's commentary. I haven't heard this in the past. I usually enjoy it. The thing that I don't know whether, when you talk about perhaps some of the conservative elements in the community, whether you use the term kooks or sick in reference to them, I doubt it. I've been following most of the programs. I think it just kind of boils down, as far as I can see, to poor taste. And
you boil it down onto whose ox is being gored, too. On this program, I did refer to the other bedfellows in this opposition, which were the extremely conservative groups. I didn't use the word sick to describe them. As I remember it, I referred to them as perennial againers, people who always oppose such things or some such language. In case you are wondering, I haven't heard anything from them.
Yeah. Well, then again, that's not. I think perennial againers is not. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't consider that name calling. I would consider kooks and sick is the character definition.
Can you answer my question here?
Not yet. Charlotte. Yes.
I just want what Rosemary was talking about along that same line. I agree with what she was saying, but evidently there are two methods used. One is to discredit the person that is in opposition or has an opinion. The other is a total disregard for that person's presence. And I think that to a great degree this also has play. Not only Cure, but minority groups, specifically the Hispanic Federation, has taken certain stands, and while perhaps behind the scenes there has been plenty of evidence of the fact that this was in fact felt or considered, it was not, as far as the public was concerned, known because it was kept under cover. And I think this is another way of completely discrediting any opposition.
This matter of discrediting disturbs me because it is so effective. I have seen it used in the political arena at the congressional level, from the Catholic press on down, and from 36 to 46, to the extent that it contributed a great deal to discrediting on the part of other candidates, as well as the Catholic press, to the defeat of an excellent representative, in my estimation and many people's estimation, in San Diego. He would have been the chairman of the Armed Forces Committee rather than Mendel Rivers had he been continued in Congress, as the Southerners do so effectively. So this is the deeper implication of discrediting. Eddie said, don't talk about the other fellow, talk about how good you are. Don't discredit the other fellow. But it doesn't always work, as we know, in many areas. So this is the implication that bothers me. I don't mind being called irresponsible or a kook. And as George Stevens said, he never thought he'd be in the same bag with some people from La Jolla on the matter of redistricting boundaries. I never thought I'd be in the same bag with the
I didn't even have this program. I recently acquired a color TV that gets Channel 15. I'm going to watch it. I'm selling it now. I'm selling it now. I have a 6'10". I guess I've been secretary to a member of Congress for 10 years. This is what bothers me.
I've got it.
In connection with this reporting on the bond issue and the copy said, I would like to reinforce what Mrs. Lane was saying and Mrs. Rodriguez, because although the Federation took a very strong stand and it did went out in a very short time to organize the community and distribute amply, literally, the city of San Diego, when it was reported by the Copley Press Wednesday, it was a statement from a member of the Board of Education was given ample exposure, but there was no consideration other than a passing remark given to the Chicano Federation. And I would say that although the margin of voting here was roughly 4,000 votes, if you consider that the Mexican American population would amount to roughly 12%, this 4% that you needed to pass this bond issue, perhaps did hinge on the fact that the American, not perhaps, it did hinge on the fact that the Mexican American Federation, the Chicano Federation, took this strong stand.
Let me get it back. We know what you're saying, but it's not quite exactly to the point that we are trying to discuss at this moment. Let's see if I can just restate it in two or three words. We are not discussing whether or not the bond issue should or should not have passed. That's irrelevant to this particular discussion. It is equally irrelevant to this discussion whether or not one has a right to have an opinion or not. That's irrelevant. We're not concerned at all with the rights of individuals to express their position. Each is saying that the other has the right. One group here feels, however, that this simply is not speaking within those rights, that this goes beyond that and has other implications with regard to the kind of responsible, balanced, total reporting within the context of a total community that we've been discussing at this table.
Yes, but I'm afraid this is what I was trying to say. Maybe I didn't say it correctly. But what I was trying to say is that it was the way in which it was reported by the Copley Press.
No, we're not talking about the Copley Press.
Well, I'm talking about the letter.
Yeah, all right. The TV, he said, talk about it this moment.
Kel, can we get some more reaction directly to Rosemary's comment over here? Because I think this is very relevant to a point of actually handling this matter, because we know that individuals have a tendency to relate what is on their mind, what is in their environment, and what is in their background.
Yes.
But she is relating what is in somebody else's background or environment versus a person who has the power to legitimize his versus a person who doesn't have the power to legitimize the other.
Could then you speak to it.
I would rather the news media speak to it.
Okay.
In direct response to her question, and Peter could answer this as well as I could or anybody else in broadcasting, but any licensee has both a moral and a legal responsibility to provide balanced coverage on any subject on which either a commentator or the station takes a definite opinion stand or editorial stand. Remember, we're talking about commentary and not editorial, because editorial suggests station management and ownership involvement in the opinion-making process, whereas commentary is a single person, in this case, Mr. K. So, now either Channel 15 can make a case that they have already provided balanced coverage in regards to CURE in particular, or can or should or will provide time to CURE to state its own case.
Well, let the chair use another prerogative. Rosemary's core is not comment or observation, is not what recourse does one have. And they are not asking what recourse one has. She only mentioned that as another facet of it. If I'm hearing right, she's putting out credibility, believability, and discredibility, discrediting one through the media, not what recourse they have, since the courts are there, the FCC are there, ticketing and all these things. They're not talking about recourse. We're still on the point of discrediting one. Good or bad or right or wrong. Now, that's what she was talking about.
Let me try to be very specific, Carol. I know that everyone is not going to agree with me, and certainly I'm not going to agree with everyone else. But to discredit another one for not believing in him is the issue. You can legitimize your position. That's fine. I think you should legitimize your position. But don't discredit mine. Don't call me a kook. 3% black militants who don't know what they're talking about. They don't have the right in educated black people to write black history even if we get them to schools. They don't have qualified instructors even if they give them black instructors. They couldn't run a black studies department if they gave them a black studies department. It is only the 1% that's messing up the school system, and those others 99% don't want this type of situation. Let us hear from the 99%, because all we hear from is the 1%. The 1% are not responsible citizens. Humphrey says it, Reagan says it, Nixon says it, they're not responsible. And this really gets to the core, because he sent it to black people is we're not going to let the irresponsible few blacks mess up the whole thing for the other blacks. Legitimize your thing. And this is one of the questions that have always come up about blacks, and we say black is beautiful. We're not talking about whites being ugly. We're talking about positive blacks being beautiful. If you were not on the face of the earth, I would still be beautiful. I don't have to compare myself with you to be beautiful. Now, you got to dig on that, because I'm not legit. I'm not trying to tear your thing down. I am building mine up. And that doesn't make me a racist, and it doesn't make me a separatist. It makes me pro-me. Now, that's what we're talking to here. You like what you think, yes, but don't try to run down the other guy because he doesn't think what you think.
John? What?
I think it's unfortunate that two good guys are at each other's throats in this, what I consider good guys. And I don't really think that Peter Cave thinks Cure is sick, and if he does, if he found out more about them, he wouldn't think they were sick.
I'm sorry, missed something in there. To take that last statement over, I missed
some of his
money.
I don't think Peter Cave really thinks Cure is sick and a bunch of kooks. And if he does, he's ill-informed, and if he would find out more about them, he wouldn't feel that way. Okay. So I think it's unfortunate. Is that unclear?
No, I heard it. I told everybody else did that time.
I think it's unfortunate that both of them are at each other's throats, particularly since I consider them both good guys in this issue. But I think the issue is one of whether or not Pete, as a representative of the media and somebody who talks to a great number of people through KEBS, used his prerogative unfairly, and whether or not he presented both sides. And I don't know whether the other side was presented fairly and in the same light that his side was.
Okay. Dave?
Could I provide some more input in regards?
Don't get technical about it.
It really is important to understand. You know.
No, not for this. Not important.
Well, you don't know what I'm going to say.
As long as you don't get technical.
I'll use English. Okay.
Simple English, you know. Not the language of the in-family.
Broadcasters have always desired to editorialize and to comment on the passing scene. The Federal Communications Commission has encouraged this, and yet at the same time, they knew that every time somebody like Peter Cave or any radio or television station expressed an opinion about something or somebody, they were going to open a can of worms, as every editorial and every newspaper always does. So they tried to provide a fairness doctrine and made it a legal requirement that we all provide the kind of context and so forth that we're all arguing about here. So this is going through every broadcaster's mind. Now, the result of this doctrine and this idea is that most broadcasters keep their mouths shut. And so when
but you're talking again,
I hope that's helped to understand the situation.
Who's off the subject? Does all the news media or broadcasters have a copy of the Fair Doctrine?
Sure.
Do you know what it's all about? Do you have it? Have you read it?
Yes. Yeah.
Then you're aware then the violations that you're still making. from all those who say they've read it, and they haven't, then you're aware then of the violations that you're still committing under this particular fair doctrine law then.
Okay. Seems that we're talking about really two different issues. We keep talking about whether or not cure was given. It seems is what some people are implying, that if cure was not given an opportunity to respond, it seems to me that more to the point really is it necessary to engage in name calling and character assassination in order to editorialize? Can't you editorialize regarding the issues? It seems to me what we should be talking about is ethical to involve in character assassination and name calling in order to editorialize.
What I was trying to get Dave away from the bit of all those things are true, but they're not pertinent here.
I'm just trying to get a context.
I know.
Can we get a response from the news?
Yeah, media? On that. Yeah. I saw a swift hand up before that, then get back to the news.
Maybe we ought to knock the thing off. I don't want to be at Peter's throat. Let me. I guess it was 4 weeks ago we had a discussion about who says a black is militant. You remember that? And I think this is what we're talking about. Use of words in ways that perhaps aren't legitimate. Now, part of the reason that this came about this way is because some of us talked to Peter, I talked to him, and he used considerably stronger language than he used today. And it was hard to get his attention. He really didn't hear. And maybe really that's all I'm trying to do, is get you to listen. And what we're saying is that really what Rosemary said is that here's an issue. Let's look at it as openly and honestly and intelligently as we can. And sure, you saw the schools and you were moved by it. But as I pointed out to you, every member on our board has kids in those schools. How do you think we're going to feel? So our feelings are just as strong. But you see, you didn't listen to our feelings first. And I don't think you've really heard our feelings yet. And that's really what we're saying. We just want to get your attention. And we think this is what the black community, the brown community is saying. Won't you please listen to us, you know, and really hear us? Because we do want to get together and work and get this bond issue passed. We're not against safe schools, but we're for doing the best we can with these racial problems we've got at the same time. If we're going to spend $91 million, can't we listen to each other and get together and work something out? And work it from the total frame of reference. That's really all we're saying. You're one of the good guys. But you're a good guy whose attention we're having a hard time getting at the moment.
Anybody?
I just want to react to what Mr. Wood said. I think it's unfortunate too, but and I'm not going to quote the Bible, but I'm going to quote a minister as nearly as I can, who was one of the organizers of CIC, Kermit White, who's with the National Council of Churches now. He said in a sermon once that. And I agree, because I've been through it personally. Nothing really good comes without great suffering, and I think maybe it's the case here. So I don't deplore this. I think it's an opportunity.
We should really make out then,
Chester. I'm blowing up. I'm a churchman, and I've been a churchman all my life, and I don't like to hear the churches disgraced. Walter Smith said, and he's from Tennessee, and I'm from South Carolina, so I agree with him too, that without a religious concept, he doesn't think that over the 400 years of slavery and all that bag, that the blacks could have survived what they survived. With a deep religious conviction.
Thank you.
I would like to say again that while we are discussing CURE's involvement with the station, we have been talking about communication and the fact that the minority feels that many of its programs or its aspirations and its work is completely, totally non-existent. And at least I can say, I don't think I'd like to be particularly in Cure's position of having been discredited either. However, I can say at least one thing, at least they exist. But we don't. Our faces are still black.
Any other comments? News meet, Ray?
Peter, are you going to give this Cure group an opportunity to make a statement of any kind?
If they ask me, they haven't asked me yet.
They might not want to, Ray. Let's find out. That might not be, it may not do any good. So let's ask.
Part of the problem on this, Ray, was, excuse me just a minute, sister. On this bond issue, as you know, the registered group in opposition was that wrote the ballot argument was not Cure. It was a group of
rim owners'
property. And when you take a position on the other side of something, or in this case for something, then the group you would go to, it wouldn't have done Cure any particular good to because they weren't allied, I guess, formally with this rim owners' group.
No, but I don't follow that.
Well, wasn't it in a commentary, one of your commentaries, can't you just mention the fact that Cure objected to what you said and state their position if they request it?
We can go even further.
Let's see what they want. They are here.
If we want anything, and we'll have to talk about this, we know that the bond issue has to be on the ballot in the fall. And we'd like to think about it. We hope that the total community will get together on this thing, and perhaps some of them join with us on it. We could appear in some way giving a positive support to the bond issue. We're for schools, and if we do anything, we want to give that kind of an image, and not to say we're responsible, but hopefully demonstrate it. That's all. But this would be something that we'd have to find ourselves in that position first.
Peter, they apparently don't want.
No, I guess
not.
Not now.
They're really talking about something else.
Carol, you know, this is, and when talking about paying someone back for something that you did, it's almost an impossibility. It does not work that way. You see, I cannot pay back my mother for what she's done for me, and I don't care how much it happens. And this is what Christians are always taught. You cannot pay back Christ for what he did for you. Only way you can pay it back is dying for Christianity in his life, and you're not willing to do that yet. Okay, but what I'm saying is when things come up like this, what we're talking about again is not trying to discredit a person. And the way you do that best is don't do it again. You don't continue to run a thing down like you've been running it down before, not hitting that direction. But what you may do to be positive is to try to, as someone has suggested here, let Peter K. talk to Cure to try to get a better understanding of the organization, what its intent is, and what it's all about. And then he may become a member of the organization and have a need for you. You don't know. You see, this is what makes positive doing. Somebody goes up in a dry statement and said, well, I've been challenged on a certain statement I said about so-and-so some time ago, and I'd like to retract that statement because they've had opposition to it. I mean, big deal. You know,
that's
Peter attraction,
the Coptic
press. That's like a newspaper retraction. You see, it's like once a word has been said in the air, you cannot draw it back again. It's not like a kite.
All right, Anderson?
Yeah. I didn't hear the broadcast, and I can't make very much comment about what was said, but from what I heard since I've been sitting here, I think that it seems that we have sort of a personality clash and some immature statements made irrationally, and it could have been avoided. But I think that we're dealing more with just two opinions, whether or not one person has a right to legitimize his point on whether or not we should get a bond issue, and the other person has his right to oppose the bond issue. I really don't think that either person meant to harm the bond issue or to get the school built, but I think we're dealing with just more than the bond issue itself, because who's going to benefit from the bond issue? Will the children in the school benefit from the bond issue, or will this be a big financial endeavor? You see, you have to, from a frame of reference, of who's going to benefit. I would hope that in this case, the children that attend these schools would be the beneficiaries of whatever we plan to do here.
You're speaking to the value of the bond issue, though.
Okay. But now, see, we're dealing with something that's older than just the bond issue, Carol, something that's older than name calling. We're dealing with over 100 years of de facto segregation, which in itself has a lot to do with the bond issue. The fact that the bond issue failed is something that...
We agree with you, but I cut the others off when they went in the wrong direction. You are now speaking to the problem which underlies the bond issue with regard to black and brown and so forth. He's really not. They're not talking really to the position of the bond issue, the position of Peter, or the position of Shoup. They're really talking about the way it was handled, the name calling, et cetera.
So this is what I'm getting to. You see, whether or not Peter had the right to make his commentary and to call CURE organization bad names, It is, well, I don't know.
Okay, that's all they're talking about. That's what they're talking about right there.
But Mr. Chairman, as you stated before, you can't separate the chicken from the egg. What gave rise to CURE's position was racial imbalance. I'm sorry, Mr. Big Jim.
All right, you the chair. I can't do anything.
No, but Peter has to go. That's what you said all the time. That's what you said now.
No, that is what I told you.
All right.
We're separating out issues. They've told you what they're concerned about. It's not the bond issue, whether it was good or bad, and all of that. They're not talking about, am I right? They're not talking about that. They're talking about the way a man handles something.
I just have to ask one question.
All right.
The reason he was handling it at all was that the question arose about the bond issue, although Mr. Smith said that CURE is for the bond issue. But the paradox history looms in my mind. If you're for it, then vote it through and then work with the thing that you feel inadequate, the race imbalance. He said one reason that he couldn't support it, that it was the whole idea of racial imbalance. But at the same time, you wanted the schools to be safe. You see, these are, according to logic, these are paradoxes that you can't solve. We're in the conversation.
That's all right, but that is not the topic being discussed.
Okay,
Carol. I think we somewhere along. Who put that on the agenda for the talk about
it? That Peter was a bad boy, we should spank his hand and send him home.
Put a horn down on that.
Well, I mean, how can you separate? The bond issue is what was talked about in the first place.
Right.
This is what the argument arose from. Now, how do you separate the pro and cons, whether or not Peter had the right to say what he said about...
That is not what they're talking about.
But look,
that's not what they're talking about.
It's a privilege to call names if you want to, right?
No.
That's the point.
Oh, wow. Come on.
Just because he has a television program, does that give him the right to call names to someone else? But this is his right. He can call names if he wants to. But is this proper?
Yes.
And was it put?
Now you're getting to the point. Is it proper?
Well,
we've been
talking
for the past 5 years calling to the names.
Carol.
Wait a minute before we close off, George.
Okay.
You see, we get hung up on our positions with regard to whether we like the bond issue or don't like the bond issue, and that's not relevant. Let's say we're talking about something such as building a city hall after a flood. And let's say you're not talking about CURE, you're talking about the Board of Education now. Or now you're talking about the TV station instead of CURE. Or the City Hall. Or you're talking about some other group that's acceptable. The Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Commerce. That has an image and everybody knows it's a good image, etc. The principle we're talking about this morning would be no different and remain the same. So we shouldn't get our feelings about whether the bond issue should pass or not pass, whether it would do good to the schools, to the black kids. We shouldn't get all those things mixed up. They are not relevant to what we're talking about.
And I know Peter got to go. Any last comments, et cetera?
Mr. Chairman, just for you, would you please bring me up? I've been here since 9:30. And I'm as far away from what you're talking about as I was before
I got here. I thought you were here.
Wait, he was saying now that the only thing that's before us are the names that Peter called Cure. That we've wasted a whole morning. So we've been calling names for 5 years. Hawkey, Whitey, Nigger, Peckwood, we've been doing all this. This is what you're talking about now.
Who
was talking about doing?
That's not what
he
talked about.
That's not what
he
talked about. That's what you got now.
That's not what I talked about on television.
But
they
do it on television.
If they do, they'd be.
Well, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, call them.
All right.
Some we have missed it. For others, I'm sure we'll have a chance to meet with some of those and clarify. Peter, thanks for staying beyond 11 o'clock, and as you said, the station is all set up for it. I'm sure you will. You will get some more feedback. Did you have anything else to say to Peter before he leaves? Anybody specifically to Peter before he leaves? To Peter?
Yes.
All right.
I will say once again, maybe I'll say many times, that in whatever they got you engaged in for the opposition for Cure, this name calling, whether you knew it or not, and I don't think you knew it, was addressed to a very honest effort on the part of the Mexican American community that has a lot at stake in issues like this. So maybe now, when you are speaking against one group, you ought to look at the total spectrum of the opposing group. But we were included in that. We were, by the virtue that you discredit this effort, and by ignoring the fact that we were also, in your calling them, it's as if you were ignoring us at the same time.
I don't really want to pick that for a point. It was a definitive one, you know. Okay.
Well, I would like to answer that.
Okay.
Because in singling out Cure, and there were a number of groups on both sides, including yours, in singling out Cure, I deliberately singled them out. And by doing so, I also deliberately did not include your group.
They were talking about
so it was, when I talked about them, I was specifically talking about them. And specifically not talking about you.
See, that's the point what she is objecting to.
Well,
do you understand what she's saying, first of all?
Well, I agree with her. I can accept that objection.
I don't think you understand the objection. Do you understand what she's saying?
I understand her objection.
But your reply didn't indicate it. And I just want to be sure you understand it, whether you agree with her or not. Your reply didn't understand that you understood it.
She actually used objections or something.
She said by leaving her out,
they don't exist.
They don't exist. It ignores her and thereby discredits her by their not even existing. That's what she said.
Perhaps I ought to do one thing. I don't want to prolong this anymore. I did. We're taking the part out of this letter, which in a little way is unfair because that was 1 minute out of a 10-minute program. Earlier in the program, I mentioned opposition by other groups. I did not mention them all by name, but I did take note of the opposition of groups such as yours. So it wasn't an attempt to leave your group out or any other. I merely picked up Cure and a few groups on the other side that were also opposing for specific mention. But your group was taken note of in the program.
All right, well, then maybe I should say that being that the Mexican-American community is always non-existent, it's never acknowledged, then from now on I would like you to be, if you're going to stick another group, please see that you do not have.
No, I mean, are we still on the news?
Yeah, we're going to get right back there. Thank you, Peter. Would we all stand up a minute and stretch? Thank you.
who's concerned to conserve energy that way. For now, for the next item, after everybody gets seated, Mark is coming in.
Your amendments are really on the agenda, so you are related to somewhere at
the system. On the agenda, as you noticed, we have number two where we were expected to have already started. But this city is in motion all the time, so much. With all kinds of things happen, regardless of what subject we pull in, things happen that are crucial to that. And we simply took pertinent, relevant material and related it to our topic. Number two on the agenda says, special training for news media personnel. A, meetings with minority groups on an ongoing basis. B, have minority groups meet at news media offices on an ongoing basis. C, employment of minorities in news media. Now, stop for a moment, please. While we have them listed A, B, and C, we should not get disturbed if someone brings up a specific incident or something happening that relates to A, B, and C. We list them in order to know what arena we are in, what room we are in. Now, it's open for discussion on A, B, and C, or A, or B, or C, and anything that relates thereto. Ultimately, though, we're talking about communication and how this can be better or more, made more effective by the involvement of black and brown and beige at every point in the operation. Now, that's basically what we're talking about. I saw Bud first and then Chuck.
The question I had is how many minorities are, we have some representatives from the broadcasting industry here, how many minorities are hired? I'm jumping to C now. How many are now working for the broadcast station?
All right, if you make it simple with your answers, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mr. Chairman, we do this every time. Now, we're down to number C. Number A, B, and C. The question. If we keep it in logical sequence, we'll run into all these tangents. We're talking about now meeting with minority groups on an ongoing basis. This is the first thing that's before us. If we're going to follow the agenda, if we don't follow the agenda, we don't need the agenda.
Number
two. We left it open for you.
Number two. You can't leave it open in the logical meter. If this is logical, we're doing now. If it's illogical, we'll start off with anything else.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak to you?
Jim.
To satisfy Jim.
Okay. Not satisfy me, satisfy the agenda.
Okay. First, my question, I'm not sure what the so much difference between A and B really on here. Meeting with minority groups on an ongoing basis, have minority groups meet. It just looks like one's going down to their community and the other is going over there sometime. Is that about the extent of it?
Just with the idea that, for example, it may have been under A. It might have been one under A, that one way you meet with minorities on an ongoing basis is to go to the media offices, you know.
I don't like to get hung up in semantics either. Okay. I would like to... My part of this, which I think the news media could relate to, I'm sure that they have our attitude already as being a positive one for wanting to meet with them. I just want to point up a possible need for this meeting to assist them at this particular time, and at least in attitude more so than what we can do here at a dialogue in a general meeting, because I'm very disturbed today that because evidently the officials of the city looked at the agenda, they did not see fit to be here because they didn't see that this was concerning them evidently. I would not lack for a dialogue to just be specific to a subject that would tend to leave someone else out if that's what this is doing today. In attitude, which I think these could come up immediately after, and this is very appropriately put, it's in the cartoon section of the Union on Sunday, but it's actually a religious article, and I'm sure you know the newspapers, Union Tribune here. It says, Cain kills his brother Abel, and I'm not going to have to read anything, I just want to show you the cartoon. Some of you know and contend that Cain and Abel, they were one white and one black. The one who was killed was white, and the one who did the killing was black. But I wanted to point out to you, I think that you can all relate by me showing you this big cartoon here. There's a great big black man and a little skinny white man. The big black man is Cain, and the little skinny white man is Abel. And as you know, Abel was the guy that got killed. So if you can appreciate this type of cartoon, which was ran March the 2nd here in the news media, and it shows the viciousness of why shouldn't a great big black man, really what I read just says, I mean, a big old guy like that, he can wipe out any little skinny white guy. No wonder he killed him, you know, he took advantage of him. And it shows this is again is in light of black people taking advantage, and like this 1% of students, these militants, is just taking advantage of all these little puny white guys on campus. And if you don't watch them, they're going to misuse your daughter too. You know, you just have to watch these people, you see. And now this is in a religious context. This story is actually by Adam and Eve and a son whom named Cain. Later they had another son whose name was Abel. And this is, it goes on. It doesn't say anything about black or white in the article. Nothing at all. But the cartoon is quite obvious, you see. Okay, so this is...
Are you writing that for this story?
The need for understanding. Now, I don't think the white person even thought about what he was printing. I really don't think, because if he had, I'm sure there must have been something about the showing of the brothers being different colors in the article, which it doesn't point out. So the cartoon itself is, you know, the big giant, and I don't think he related to it, except the murderous type person, but it happened to be the murderous type person was black, you see. Another incident that happened like this in a local paper here was where a white girl and her boyfriend was killed in a basement of a big apartment building in New York. This was 2 or 3 years ago. They showed the picture of this black man, and he was the most vicious looking black man I've ever seen before. I don't know if he had a half natural or a half process. I don't know if he was slobbering at the mouth or if somebody poured water in his face, but he's just dripping, and he just viciously looking. His eyes were just, they made the biggest eyes, the close up, the way they took the picture, you see, that put this individual in this light, like, I know he did it. You see, it was showing a suspect, but the picture would say to any parent, he has to be the one. Look at him. You see? Okay, this is a feeling that I don't think our news media can possibly, they don't have. And this is not going to come from a black person working for the newspaper, so I'm not on employment. It's going to come because black people, if you hire one, he's not going to be the editor of the paper, and he's not going to look at all these articles. That's not going to stop the issue. You're going to have him writing a little article in the corner about Southeast News, or you're going to have him reporting on any minority problem, so it's not going to cover it. But I think that you should be very positive, the news media should, on coming to confrontation with black people concerning the attitudes that you should have in trying to express yourself in news, which many times, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, I don't think you really know what you're doing when you do it, and I don't think you have an intent sometimes to even be prejudiced, but by not knowing what you're doing, you automatically do it anyway because you've been orientated in a prejudicial way, you see, on racism, so you cannot help from doing it. The second part is, and I'm not going to really go into depths on this, but it was written on, it says, Kogo radio license renewed, renewal okay. They said that the article for the radio license for radio was renewed, but not the license for Kogo was renewed, TV. Now it says in depths here that the reason for the complaint or something here that grew out of their not being renewed, which they're still pending evidently, is because of a cigarette advertising controversy. I'm not going to go into detail about that, but I have to know different in why they're being not being renewed. But the point I want to bring up is that people will read something. And I have a statement which says that I believe that the news media can either make or break a political person, or can make or break a political issue of any kind. It's up to the news media can do it. They control the whole system because people will not bother to go and find out what really happened. That's what the paper said. I read it in the paper.
Were you quoting? Was the article quoting somebody?
No. Well,
was it an editorial?
Oh, related to, well, this came out of the Federal Committee. It says here, Washington. So one of your correspondents in Washington sent the article back here. It says Copley News Service, Washington. The Federal Communication Commission ruling that a petition against, I don't know who wrote it, but
Copley News Service.
I'm sure that's okay, but what I'm saying is, really, the guy knew that he was lying when he wrote it. But you see,
No one would ever call the communication system to say, is that true? I know that. We don't do this many times out. But what I'm really saying is, the point is that you have to be very careful in trying to at least give the people the right interpretation as you possibly can. Not right the way you see it, but right the way somebody give you the news release. And to support this, here's two different articles. One written in the Oakland, in the San Francisco paper, which is the, one was written in the LA Times, the other is the San Diego Union. And you would have to read them in depth to evaluate. They talk about the same story.
The one down south.
No, this is two Oakland officers jailed in a shooting.
Yeah.
This is what this is all about. It. Same subject, two officers accused of firing at Newton's office. Now, one is L.A. Times, one is Union. You have to read these articles to really appreciate the reported method. Another point is, confrontation with students. Today, at Berkeley campus, police in confrontation with students, San Diego Union. 13 policemen severely beaten by students. L.A. Times, 26 students severely beaten by police. No police were injured in the incident.
Yeah.
Are you following? This is what we're talking about, you see. Okay, even if both sides are beaten, very badly, it will still come out that the police in San Diego got the worst whooping, and in San Francisco it will come out that the students got the worst whooping, and the police department was slightly injured. You see, because the news there would have to relate to what really happened, and more or less, because they knew that there were several people on the scene who seen it. But San Diego Union know that we didn't see it down here. Police just beat up like mad. You ought to have seen them. Just. Okay.
Make it short, George.
I'm going to stop there. But anyway, I think there's enough analysis there. Okay, thank you.
Your point is that in order to correct this, there should be confrontations with black and brown on an ongoing basis.
For the purpose of understanding how to relate to an attitude.
Gotcha. There were some other hands up that said, oh, over here.
I'd like to have my curiosity satisfied for engaging into in-depth recommendations on training. I'd like to hear from the news media whether or not there's a recommendation of the problem of the need for special training. And I haven't heard yet. Until we get that kind of recognition of the problem, I feel personally that I'll be wasting my time. I think constructive suggestions on techniques.
Do they feel they need special training?
Right. Is there a recognition of a need for special training in my area?
News media? I think that's a legitimate question. I will love it.
Well, I think basically with a frame of reference, it all goes down to what Mr. Oxley's been talking about, and through the years that as you grow, as you mature, you build a frame of reference, and depending on how you grow, what the color of your skin is, and so forth, will affect your frame of reference. No matter how much you try to change, and how much you think you are doing to the good of society, if you really feel that you are trying to help solve a minority problem that does exist, still you have ways of interpreting things that directly come from this frame of reference that you've developed, that you've grown up with, and therefore you in this position can more or less communicate your frame of reference, even though you don't realize you have it, to others, and therefore you continue. So I think basically, I don't particularly like the term, to be honest with you, special training. I like to have communication more.
Well, don't play with the term. The concept is what it is.
The concept I can agree with. The way in which we label it again as something else, but then again, I think all of us, Ray, I don't know if you go along with what I say or how I say it, but I'll throw it over to Ray.
Anybody else
from
news media? Go ahead.
Yeah, my particular frame of reference is probably a little bit different because of the role that we play. not only as a non-commercial television station, but as an affiliate with an educational institution. And we recognize very strongly the need for special training, but probably at a different level than the everyday ongoing process of putting somebody into a news department functioning on a daily basis. Because we start, regardless of the problem of minority or otherwise, we're starting with the students at the beginning level and building them up from a different point of view. And we are working at that level, which so that, that hopefully the problems that accrue to Ray and everybody else here will not be as great. That hopefully we can get some people with the fundamentals, with the grounding, and this sort of thing coming up through.
He's only asking now about minorities, though.
All right.
Not
well,
students, but minorities.
Well, but from our point of view, the process at this moment remains the same. We are working on some things that we hope will develop, in which there will be the similar kind of training that the that everybody gets, plus some of the special training. It's difficult enough, as these guys will tell you, that to find the kind of people that you can put into any kind of a particularly a news organization that are competent to do the job you want and fit them in and roar through your news day after day after day, no matter whether they are minorities or non-minorities. I mean, they're just hard to come by. And there's a turnover that's pretty high in most organizations, and I think they are in search form. And part of the problem, it seems to me, is that taking the practical point of view, how do you get these guys to do your job?
Don't flip the page yet on it.
And how do you then say, we're going to give them the extra training and put them on the air at the same time? Well, I haven't got any solutions to it, but because, you know, we have the problems, we don't have the solutions.
But go back. Gently ask, do you recognize any need for this kind of concept here that's expressed there? Not students, not women, not communists, not fascists, black and brown. Well, that's his question, if I paraphrase it. Okay. Not whether they exist or not, the recognition of the need.
I recognize
okay.
The need.
I don't think we can deny that. We see different things differently, and so undoubtedly there should be some communication. Now, what fashion that will take, that is what should be determined. There is no doubt that those of us in the news business see things a little differently than the people with whom we deal on occasion.
Any other news in the back?
No, not exactly, but I'd like to make an offer.
Well, hold up. Any other news media personnel?
I think all of us recognize that there should certainly be the opportunity and the need does exist to communicate. It's terribly naive of us to say, no, we're know-alls, we know everything that's going on and how to interpret it, and nobody should infringe upon us in our efforts to do that. That would be horribly naive. So to say that there is no need for communication, for dialogue, I don't think you'll find that here.
All right, let's move.
You through talking about news media.
I think that's all for news media.
I was going to say that if such meetings do occur, in order for them to be fruitful, it will be necessary that people who have the skills of the newspaper business be attuned to the needs that we are talking about and help address us to them. Now, Joyce brought in some things. He brought in you know, as a newsman, for example, that of all the murders committed in the United States, that if a picture comes back of one particular murderer selected from all the rest, that something under there is operating. You know this. You know that even in the news columns, I'm not talking about editorializing, even in the news columns, that the writers have a way of injecting their own beliefs. They say use words like alleged, that means I ain't in favor of it. Or they use words like so-called, that means I doubt it, he's probably lying. You know what all of this happens.
Right. You know what that means?
Yes. If you really support it, you don't think
that
so. Means,
no, that doesn't have to do with support. That has to do with whether or, no you, whether or not you have it as a hard fact and whether or not you can be sued for sin.
Now listen, I'm an old man. I know better.
You say alleged, then you can't be sued. That's right.
But you don't say alleged. This is something that you agree with.
Now, talk about legal
matters. No, I don't want to argue with you. What I want to do is to convince you, when we have this meeting, use your skill to help us address ourselves to the needs that our country has here. Hell, I don't know enough about newspapers to point out what's going on, where the knife's being stuck in, but you do know enough about it. If you could just get my feeling and your skill, we could get somewhere, but we're not going to get anywhere if we're confronting you and you defending yourself. Well, you know you got me in cards and spades. I know we'll win. You can defend all day long, and I know we'll know what you're talking about.
Well, we tend to be defensive. Yeah. Which is just natural.
John, then Jeff.
Yeah, I'd like to offer the services and support of the University of California Extension and the Community Relations Service and bringing about sensitivity training or confrontation or discussion meetings with the support of the members of this dialogue group and the members of the minority community and get it done. It's been done in other communities, in Minneapolis, for example, where newsmen set aside, editors of the papers set aside 2 hours or 1 or 2 days a week and allowed their newsmen to attend such sensitivity sessions for a period of 6 weeks. So they're models for it.
I'm trying to understand the consensus of the news media as represented here. However, after listening to the replies, I sort of vaguely get the feeling that there is a sort of half-hearted commitment to the idea. Now, maybe I'm wrong.
Half-hearted commitment to the recognition.
Recognition, pardon me, of the problem here that we're addressing ourselves to. I could be wrong. If I am, will you perhaps clarify? Can you simplify the answers?
I can do it only by addressing them again and asking them, is
I don't want to belabor this point, but
were you saying yes, there's a need? I understood you were. A recognition, I mean, of a need. More than half-hearted. Two heads. See?
Recognize the need.
Three heads. Right. Four heads. Okay. All right. Rosemary?
I think the recognition of the need and doing something about it, this perhaps goes a little further and talks about something that was done and the impact that it had. Recently, Channel 8 did a very short, like a 10-minute special on the Afro-American Culture Show. And I know it was difficult to set up and there were complaints with the cameraman and all that they don't do things the way that you can rely on them in other places, and they weren't, first time they weren't ready and all this, they had to come back the second time and they knocked over a light and this kind of thing. That shows that part, we need some savvy on both sides as to how to understand how to have things prepared. That's granted. Nevertheless, the show was done. As a result, that same group were giving a show at Grossmont. I contacted the 200th anniversary office and said, because they have a beautiful black commissioner for the month in Earl Gilliam, I thought he certainly should appear and give a nice 200th anniversary medal, medallion, everything they had to this group for their beautiful, positive communication of the new beauty of blackness and communicating the positive way to the white community. So it was fine. And she said, oh, that's the group I saw on TV. She said, they were beautiful. Oh, yes, we'll do it. Now, I think if she hadn't been able at that 20th anniversary office to have had some rationale I felt there was a hesitancy with her before that. This was black, and what is it, and what's the group, and this kind of thing. But, oh no, I saw them on TV, and they were beautiful. Therefore, the medals will be ready, the certificates will be ready, we'll make all the arrangements. It took about 2 hours, and it was done. And I'm saying that that is a positive impact, a very positive impact that this TV thing had. It was a specific minority thing. It didn't say of interest to blacks, because it's black. It had an interest for black, white, brown, and everything. And a recognition, and I think it's this recognition that she had all really said the news media had somehow recognized them, had validated them, therefore it probably was safe for the city in the 200th anniversary.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Very good point.
In connection with this, since somehow or other we come to the 200th anniversary, in the light of this...
well, not really the topic, but...
Because as far as the 200th anniversary is concerned, the Mexican Americans in this community do not exist. Now the Mexicans in Mexico that brings the show, the Mexicans in Mexico, the good Mexicans that are there, that help entertain people in all towns do exist. But the Mexican Americans here do not exist. So I would like to ask all the people that are here in this have something to do with the news media. There is this beautiful exhibit of Mexican art at the Museum of Man. Certainly it ought to be acknowledged and recognized. It should be presented to the community at large. But how about having a Mexican American presented to this community, a Mexican American from San Diego, not from the outside? I am a little tired of seeing how much recognition and how much everybody is paying attention to the 200th anniversary, leaving out the Mexican American community. And after all, this was Mexico. And some of the Mexican Americans that are here now were here then, 200 years ago.
She doesn't mean they're that old, but
Jim, but getting back to the procedures of how we're going to meet with minority groups in the news media on an onward basis, this is what we were talking about. We've gone off on everything else, but what's the topic here? I'm still trying to find out now what we're going to do. We have here meetings with minority groups on an ongoing basis.
Give us an input, Jim.
How are we going to do it?
Just give us an input, Jim.
Well, the you have to do something to get in the news.
What do we do, Jim?
Whether it's good or bad, what do you do? Well,
get a committee.
Make some contributions.
What contributions?
We just opened up our localized industrial enterprise. We had good news coverage. I'm saying, if there are, you know what you want to call me, but if there are contributions, if there are minority groups doing something that's worthwhile, then I think that's what we were talking about. How do we get the news media down there to cover it?
Reverend, you're missing all. Let me respond. I don't know what you're missing this morning, but you said the item on the agenda here was meeting with minority groups on an ongoing basis. This was to set up an understanding of communication. We just asked the news media to respond to what they thought about doing it.
Well, I'm saying, what are we going to meet for?
We're going to meet for understanding. That's why the question Jesse raised over here, are they really positive and responsive to meeting and dialogue? And the gentleman over here used it, say that the University of California would be responsible for bringing the two groups together for dialogue, for understanding. I don't know what's going on here this morning.
But I'm saying, to understand what? You know, we keep talking about
to understand.
What do you have to present to them that they don't understand?
Cain being slaying Abel is a big black man in a in the context here, another picture.
A black man did slay a white man. That's the story. Now, if you don't like the way it was put up.
I forget it.
Oh, you're irrational now. You laid the premise that it was two people, a black and a white.
I didn't get enough.
We go off on this mess about what you're going to do, but what are you going to present when the news media comes down to the mind?
Now,
what are you going to tell us
and move on, okay? I'll answer what we present.
We're specific.
Yeah, we'll answer it so we can move on. Yeah,
we can give a good answer.
We'll answer now or we can move on. Number one, black and brown kids don't get married in the city of San Diego or the county of San Diego, according to the news media, period. Now and then, they do. A couple of years ago, Mrs. Unisop
You still here?
Yes,
we had to go to one hell of a fight, right?
Yep.
To get a black woman on the same level in the big council churches with her women's group. And we went through one hell of a hassle that year, and the year before, we had started it, culminated to a year later. That's only one. We worked with Thelma can tell you exactly what we went through to get her organization the paper, not one time, over a period of 6 years. I'll then pick up again, tell you more, and the debutante ball, I will pick up again when I came over to the Grand Hotel here all afternoon, and left there and went over and fought with people at the Copland Press for an hour and a half while they waited for me to give the keynote address to put me on camera and in the papers in this city.
All right.
These
now, those people are not here. The news...
No.
On television, folks.
I'll
here.
Answer more.
Talking about
I'll answer
news
more.
People not here.
I'll answer more than what we'll talk about. We'll talk about all the news-making events that go on in Southeast, Linda Vista, and every place in this county every day, and we keep a running account of them in CIC and have been feeding press more articles in the past, what, month or 2 months? Then I think it's like a new zero. Now, the media has come to us to thank us. They had no idea that this much news is going on. Number one, on one weekend alone is the kind of thing we tell the press. That was the Chicano Youth Conference. That same weekend, the BSA contest. That same week. 2 weeks before that, that was the BSA program. Oh, the elementary science thing, for example. Conference out in the valley, not covered at all. That weekend there were three affairs, and I tried to make all three of them and couldn't. I went to the US group out in the Imperial, and where's Anderson? Did you go to one out in the valley that week with the BSA anyway? I'm trying to say that the news media is not in tune and never has been and won't be in anywhere of this country until you have these kinds of things simply to sit down and let them know where black and brown people are and what
they're doing. How are we going to meet? You're talking about meeting with minorities. Who are they going to meet with?
Oh, we got minorities, Jim. Come on.
Well, I mean, who are they?
We haven't chosen anybody.
Oh, no. But I mean, if you're going to tell Coco News to cover the meet with the minority community to get the news, who are they going to meet with?
Not to get the news, Jim.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
What are you talking about?
We're not talking about
a news story here.
Yeah.
You know, what we're trying to do is meet with them to talk about some technique of news gathering and news reporting that we believe are contributing to racial conflict in America. We are trying to say, Jim, that, for example, you have news that's open and above, and you have subliminal news, too, you know. And they know how that's done. We don't. And I'm trying to beg them, when we do get together, to use their skill to help us bring this thing up and put it on the table and realize how our mismanagement of news is contributing to... It's a malfunction to our society. That's all we're saying. And we don't care if this don't never get in the press.
Yes, sir, we said the same thing. I'm saying, where are we going to? What are we going to
meet? I'll be the University of California, where this man invited them to meet.
All right, that's one place.
Your church. Get the Ramey Church.
Your church.
All right, the Boys Club. The Girls Club. The news at my church is not.
Hold on, let me hear you.
All right.
You really are not on the same frequency, Jim.
No, I'm not.
Really not on the same frequency.
I quarrel with you on that because I think he is partly on the frequencies that would. I think both things are going on at the same time. One, problem of understanding an approach to it, but Jim's, I think, rather practical approach to saying that, you know, what is newsworthy?
Now, they had a thing last week. You
well, that isn't what we're
talking about. We're not talking about that after we get
there. No, we're not talking about it.
We're not
going to
let you just
get back on that.
I think it's the same.
We're not going to discuss it now.
You're going to have to reach me with something I can understand.
Well, I'll
after we
that.
Get to the meeting.
And after we get there, we can. I'll give you back right. the chair in a minute so we can get one over at a time.
You've got to be specific all the time.
No,
we're getting back to this broad generality.
Let me restate what we're discussing.
This is a very good example of misunderstanding. Standing, Mr. Chairman, this morning.
Let me.
It's a good meeting.
Let me again restate for the purpose of the discussion what we are talking about, and we can go in a thousand directions as long as we're talking about that. The thing we're talking about is what the media personnel themselves have said this morning, namely, they have a recognition of some ongoing association and interaction with black and brown people. So far, right? They said that. We are talking about that concept only. They have said they have a recognition of it. That's what we are talking about. Not what is newsworthy. Brad, we get back to that later. But not what is newsworthy. Nor where the meeting is going to be necessarily, but that may come in. Who we're going to meet with, we haven't said anything about the techniques yet and who the personnel are. We're talking about that general concept of an ongoing association on an ongoing basis with black and brown. That's what we're talking about.
Well, I think that's been established by the matter of fact of you being the chairman of the Sister Interracial Council.
We'll talk to you later, Jim. You're not with us this morning. Yeah, we're not with you this morning.
I would be very curious to know if any of your acquaintance. I've been taking the LA Times now for some years, and I know that there's revolution for that paper. And I would be very curious to know how it came about. Where, for instance, now the
old man died.
No.
To get rid of him?
What are you suggesting?
More take him away.
No, the way, the manner, the whole paper, feeling, for instance, is of in-depth sometimes, studies of certain minority concerns or work or whatever, into a consideration of minority groups in a serious vein, whereas it has led now to a culmination in which a black man is running for mayor, a serious mayor, not a crisis, not a but not one of these, either somebody's killing somebody or somebody's on a riot or somebody robbed a bank or something, but a serious discussion of issues, and it to me, the whole paper kind of has taken.
That can be one of the content. That can be the content of one of the sessions.
Curiosity, Mr. Chairman. First of all, the thing that happened in Los Angeles, Otis Chandler took over the paper. Who is a man of this age, who speaks the language of this age, and he was able to get around him people that were able to listen to people who were speaking. Now, this is important. People who were speaking in Los Angeles, there are three or four voices in Los Angeles that are speaking with constructive speeches. H.H. Brookins and Ron Coringo, whatever they may think about him. Brookins, Coringo, and Hoggett, and and others that are speaking of things that are really going on in the city, and this man is running for the mayor. Didn't happen because the press has it. It happened because the black community got together and decided what we're going to do. We did the same thing here in San Diego when we met and came out with an unequivocal term that we wanted Leon Williams on the council. Now, the press carried these stories. They carried them. They promoted them.
Promoted?
And something happened. Yes, they promoted
them. They did. Yeah.
And something happened. See, this is what I'm talking about, procedures now. Where are you going to go and find this type of thing? What are we doing? You see, you're going to, after all of this enthusiasm and all this name calling going, we're going to have to evolve from this thing, and I've stated repeatedly, some statesmen who are going to be able to get the goods to the market that you're talking about. It's not being there.
Hey, Jim, we were with you. Flip it back now. Don't flip it back. Stay where you are. We're with you.
I think the media.
Well, we're ready to turn to his page.
The other one, shit.
All right, let's turn to the page. Oh,
okay,
Doug Neal.
Okay.
I just make one point here that I think we may have missed. Our good lady over here has been reading the Times for 7 years. It took us 7 years to change. Maybe longer, and a death or two. My point is that I think we should emphasize the positive a little bit. I've only attended 4 or 5 of these meetings, though I started this organization, incidentally.
Which one is that?
This RCIC. That's a long story. But my point is simply this. I think we've made some progress on this thing we're talking about, the sensitivity. That's the important. In the last 2 or 3 or 4 sessions that I've attended, the addition to Kulak to this thing, and opening up, I think we've got a little teeny glimmer of light. My point is, let's work on the positive as well as the negative, and looking forward to the seminar, communication seminar, that's up, things of that kind. I think we're making a little progress. But it's going to take 7 years, or 3 years, or 2 years. It's not going to happen tomorrow.
They won't be in San Diego in 7 years.
About 7 or 8 years ago.
We're
going to
fall in the ocean.
I just wanted to comment on that.
We don't have to worry about it. It's going to be an earthquake coming up, they said. We don't have to worry about it. Yeah, you want to be sensitized.
In terms of what he said, that and meeting here with the press media, on that Afro-American assembly that we had, Rosemary was talking about, four of the news media, two newspapers, two television stations were contacted. One showed up, Channel 8, was the only one that showed up in the home.
Mm. When was that, Monday night, Pat?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Channel 8 is the only one that showed up Tuesday. What was that, specific?
No,
Growth Month.
But that's the often way, Channel 8 is the only
one. Yeah. Is anybody from Channel 10 here?
Who
did
that message?
Was that his taken this morning? Was that your man from Channel 10?
It's 15. You can read Channel 8 better.
Bob Lambert is here.
Ready, Bart?
Channel 10 was here earlier.
Was he here?
Yeah, did they lose?
You're right. He's
still here. Still here. Oh, there you are. I see you now. All right, Ray. And then we're going to do something here and get out of here in a few minutes.
One of the things that disturbs me is that the wrong people in many cases have been talking. I'd like to hear what one of the things that bugs me is we don't have media representation here. What we have is a handful of television and radio people, but we don't have enough of them here to really convey to all of them the concern. And I'd like to hear more from the quiet man over here about how he, in his position, and his boss, and his boss's boss, if he has one, I mean, there's got to be some sort of a format for getting together on a continuing basis with the people not only who direct policy at all of the TV and radio stations, but the people who implement that policy. And maybe they've got an association that involves all of these people here, and maybe we ought to take, I want to hear more from the people who have already indicated they'd do something, and maybe they can help us and structure that something before we get away and they get a chance to sneak out without saying more than 4 words, which he's prone to do, but I don't want to let him do it today.
The quiet man, please.
Well, I said a few minutes ago that how was going to be the problem, and that will be the problem. I think Reverend Oxley is right in some respects when he tries to get down to the nuts and bolts of the thing. How are you going to give us information? I'll go on at great length about that and the lack of cooperation in Southeast San Diego at some future time. But
it's going to be difficult to get everyone together that you're talking about. Again, there's no one here from the Union and the Tribune, and there's no one from management in COCO. There's no one in management from any of the radio stations here except Dave Newton from KFMB Radio. And trying to get all of them together is going to be a problem. There is an organization called Sigma Delta Chi, which might be the channel through which you should go. I don't know. This is something we're going to be talking about later, now that Mr. Wayman has said that could have meetings in the future. I personally will have a problem attending a lot of meetings, and because of the lack of personnel at my station, COCO is going to have the same problem. Getting together is going to be difficult.
Journalistic.
Any other news media wish to comment on what Ray said? All right. Brad, you're sitting here and felt that what Jim was saying was prisoner's best time, and the crowd said no, but later. We have 5 minutes for you to make a statement or two or observation before we close it off in terms of newsworthy events, etc. Now you have your day.
No, the statement was mine to be made, but I think that, one, I felt that partly here, while it isn't ongoing, here we were with a group of people who could do begin to get into the specifics. If we have ongoing meetings or any meetings in minority groups, we're going to get right back down to the same thing eventually as Reverend Oxley was bringing up. Otherwise, we'll get on the defensive thing about, you know, how do you feel, and what we really need to do is to get down to specifics, and I think that this is what he brought up, and that's where we would go pretty soon with any meeting of any group that got together. Assuming that they came together in good faith anyway, and you would have to move from that point. They're there, they're willing to talk about something, then we say, all right, how? What? Determination of what, and I'm talking about news and reporting of news coverage. Pretty soon somebody's going to say, okay, how do we get in contact with those people? What is the news value? What is the judgment? What is worthy? What things do you think should be brought forth? And I think that's where he was going. He had events that could easily be determined to be, in this case, of value to the total community. And this is why I think we should go there and move to that. Maybe we have to kind of jump over some of the little things that are very important, but get us off into 20 directions on philosophy and feeling and newspapers and everything else, and get down to some more specific things about what ABC we can do and what the problems are that stand in the way of that. There are evidently serious problems under the current arrangement in covering many events in Southeast. Maybe you can go clear beyond that and say, well, yes, but if you hired X crew of people who were already involved down there in Sympathetic, then you would have access. Well, that may be true, but maybe we have to take another step too and say, all right, under the current situation with current people working on these, how do we take step one and still report those things? I haven't had trouble because I'm not in the daily news business of going down there, but I understand that this is one of the problems, that people tend to shy away. Very bluntly, I think some of them are scared to go down there.
Not very bluntly, you think they are. Right. That's why we need to do
it. Is this not one of the important things that ought to be discussed?
Sure, of course. Of course it is, Brad. Yeah. No one said no.
I can easily make a suggestion to get around that issue. I stated here about a month ago that if I were a good newsman and my station was interested in total community participation, I would have a contact man in the Southeast, a contact man in the Mexican-American community, any other community other than the majority community. This way you
wouldn't have anybody there.
No, you don't need them. They get enough anyway. Now, this way you alleviate the shyness of the news newsmen to come down and cover something. You see, you have someone that already has the know-how down there. This person can take them to the places where news is supposed to be made or whatever have you. You see, you get around all these hang-ups. You don't really need to put that as an excuse. People are scared to go down to Southeast because a lot of guys run around with militant jackets. You know, this is one of the things you have to get around. This is an excuse. It's not a fact, really.
It is a fact.
So it's not a fact because they go to Vietnam.
Anderson has the floor.
Anderson has the floor.
Miss Anderson Barry.
So what I'm saying is this: there shouldn't be a hang-up about on the premise that people may get violent because the news media come down to take pictures. Now, the thing that bugs most of the people in the community is that you never see the news media down in our area unless there is something that's going to degrade our community or degrade some person that lives in our community. See, this is on the main part. This is why the news media comes down. But the thing that disturbs me is that there are a lot of good activities that go on in our community that none of the TV programs ever bring up, and the news and the newspaper never get a chance to write about them, simply because they say, well, we don't have a staff, or we have people that are afraid to go down there. This is not the case. If you need to contact people in the Southeast, you can easily arrange for this. It's no problem. But are you genuinely interested in this type of a program? This is the thing that disturbs me.
All right, did you want to say anything now?
Yeah, I just got to tell you that there's no need for pretending that you're talking about the same thing you're talking about in space. Because you said get some news coverage in Southeast, and that ain't the point. George Stevens brought in some articles and examples that he wanted you to look at. That ain't no special Negro news. That's, you know, the colored page in the paper, whatever the nonsense you're going to do. White people read that paper and they get a subconscious image of the big black man going to pounce on somebody. If you are concerned with what's happening in America, this is in your area, and you have the skills to ferret out that kind of thing and to say, look, fella, you ought not to print a picture like that. It's just dynamite. Do you dig what I'm talking about? The hell with whether you come down and find out that we had a chicken supper or something. George Stevens said, look, out of 1,000 murder cases that happened in a day's time, your newspaper took one photograph of a black man that happened to look fiendish and ran it. Why? And what does this do to race relations in our community? That's what George is trying to talk about. And you want to pretend that what we're talking about is, will you go down in Southeast and with your little camera and take some pictures of me coming out of the church? I could care less. Your newspaper, just to give you another example, I ain't preaching no sermon. That was a black boy named Cassius Clay, decided to change his name to Muhammad Ali. The newspapers hanged him, killed him. Your vice president and one of you tell me what his name is. But you made no issue of it. It was quite all right for a man to change his name if he wanted to, as long as he didn't do it to commit some sort of crime. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. Not whether you go to Southeast.
And this is another thing on that cat and the cat. The news media refused to change the name. They continue to call him. You would not let the man legitimize himself. You tried to push it down by being an illegitimate thing to do.
This is the indifferent, educated white majority.
And later we can talk about the
right, that's why we want, that's why we want to get together. That's why we want to
That's right.
Carol, I had a question that wasn't answered, and that was the employment, the number of black people that are employed in news media. Now, I'm willing to defer this if the committee wants to bring this up, but I think it should be answered sometime.
How many black over at your station?
No.
How many black at your station?
One.
How many black at your station?
Hey, could you please ask the same?
I'm going around again. I'm going around. I didn't forget. How many black at your station?
Two.
Two.
How many?
Three.
Excuse me.
Is that TV and radio?
Just television.
Just television. Radio at Channel 8. None. Start again. How many brown? How many brown?
Mm.
How many brown?
Two.
How many brown?
15 years.
15 years. How many brown days? None. Start again.
But wait a minute. See, we can't answer all questions at once, you know.
Start again.
Keep you cool, baby. Keep you cool.
Other questions? Go around.
Check him, will you, please?
Run it down again, please. We mentioned black as such and brown as such.
Ask, is there any gentleman?
We call others all the other minorities, just for purpose of communication. Don't get in the bag of our ladies, the Moors and all that. Any others?
Minorities.
I am most of the time.
No. No.
Yeah, a couple more.
Chance? Yes. A couple over there at 39. Ray?
No.
No at Chumley.
Unless you want to count our woman salesman.
What is she, another minority?
That's another minority.
All right, but female? No, we're not talking about that.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about ethnic racial minority.
We were trying to get into this.
Oh,
did you figure
that sexual minority. Yeah, but the black woman has it really double.
Yeah.
The black brown woman really has it. She has a double hang up there. We answered your question, and now I saw one other hand, two other hands, and then we're going to stop. Diane and then Doug.
I think what I hear a lot of people saying is, on one hand, we don't need to deal with the feeling level, which is what, I don't know what his name over there is.
It's the RA.
We don't need to deal with that. We just need to deal with news. But on the other hand, there's a lot of people here that feel that you've got to deal with the feeling level of each individual first before they ever get the message about what's news.
Right. That's another way of saying, I think, part of what you were saying. Thelma?
If I can get back to something I said before, I think that a lot of this is a problem of public relations, and most news media seems or tend to leave the black and the brown community out of their public relations, and they need to deal with this factor and with the sensitivity studies possibly include these communities in their public relations, and maybe this will begin to speak out some of the problem and tend to correct it.
Dave, you are the final.
I was just going to ask a question. I should have asked this earlier, I suppose. Right. What would happen if CIC ran a design for understanding for news and media personnel?
We've been saying that now for a year and a half, or two, or four. How many, John? 3 years? 4 years?
Well, who gets the news media there? We'll run it.
You're looking at me.
Yeah,
I'll do my best.
Yeah. Why haven't you?
They have said no, meaning they, all kinds of personnel from the top to the bottom, except... Except last year in the summer, we met with some high officials of the two television stations and some others, and took the information that John referred to in Minneapolis. They have a whole series in Chicago. Beautiful. It grew out of the need to have rumor control. So we drew up a whole proposal this thick or so with several divisions. One is ongoing relation. The other is ongoing seminars for news media on an ongoing basis with the total black, brown, and other minority groups. And the other was rumor control, police reporting, and all of this. There are three other sections. It's seven altogether. And we have this package. So last summer, we went to news media and said, look, it's time, we thought, that you consider this. they turned hands down at that time. And what we are discussing is this present need to do it again, to continue until it's done. That's really what we said.
As a follow-up now, on the 25th and 26th, with the Communication Task Force's seminar, does this include the news media?
Rosemary?
That, Jim, that really is a whole different thrust. That's the communication seminar, which is in the agency, we've got some things here today, is not to sensitize the news media at all. Certain news media people will be involved to simply give input. This is an educational process by which community groups and representatives of minority, socially oriented groups can get some savvy input as to methods to follow that the news they have can get out. This is not to make something differential for them that isn't there for someone else, but to be able to give them input to make their newsworthy, and to also work at them from the standpoint of being able to work as a publicist, not just reporting the news, but how can they, through utilize public relations techniques for their issues and their concerns and their groups.
Oh, so this seminar would be working in what we've been talking about all the morning?
No, Jim. The seminar will work from the standpoint of giving the people in the community. This is a people conference, not a news media conference.
I understand.
The other will be follow-up that you might want to talk about, but it's the thing that we've been talking about. The other follow-up is to take it about three different levels we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is just starting with some people.
Carol?
Yes.
Just a couple of, these are points and formal announcements, not relating to...
Announcements?
Yes.
I'll hold up this minute. Dave, you had a cut. You had
one more thing. Once we keep CIC from doing it, putting it on, you're legitimate, and inviting...
We're illegitimate, you said.
You're legitimate.
Oh, okay.
And inviting all just reporters, anybody who wants to...
It won't work that way. We've tried it.
It
works
better if the employer forces his employees to come.
Yes.
And try it.
We are still working on methods, all we're talking about. I think it needs to at least go for the man who directs the employees to go. We're using all the muscle in the city to bring it about. That's what we're going
to do all you want to, but he's going to edit it.
Right. Gordon mentioned that last time. We're working on that, Dave. It's not that simple. Otherwise, we would have had him 25 years ago. No, but I don't think we want to get to that.
But
sorry.
It's not the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
So when you sent out notices, quite a few people in there.
Oh, yeah, we sent to all of them. George, you have some announcements.
Yes.
This is it.
These are just possible issues that concern very much a cross-section of the community, both whites and blacks. And I'm sure that especially the adults will want to support. At the present time in the assembly in Sacramento, there's a bill which is AB 449, which will lower the voting age in the state of California from 21 to 18. I would think that the old revolutionary whites and old revolutionary blacks and browns might want to give some new day to this whole situation by giving the young people a chance to vote instead of demonstrate. Second is, locally in the city of San Diego, an issue which has confronted the city for at least 3 years directly now in a very negative form. There seems to be no way of handling this particular issue, and I'm not talking about by blacks, I mean even by whites can't handle this one. And it involves with the legal services in San Diego, it involves the judiciary system. The Bar Association, I've been informed, can't even handle this particular one. It's under part of their jurisdiction. It involves a judge. I will not call his name, but this individual is known to be somewhat, at the present time, mentally ill, but yet he sits on the bench and he administers what we call justice within this city. Now, there is a petition which is being circulated by CORE to have this man, which is under the judicial, under the legislative system, to have him recalled. He's up for election in 1970. and a petition for recall now, which may shed some publicity on his re-election because it takes quite a number of signatures to get a person recalled, and this is quite a big effort. But I would hope that persons would become involved in this particular issue because this is a very, this man is sick. I'm not talking about the blacks. I'm talking about the whites. This is a very...
The browns on the same job. Excuse me.
Well, he is sick, period. He's not just the blacks and browns. He is a very sick man, but he, at the present time, he sits on a bench to administer justice. I think that someone should become concerned enough. The bar will not attack him for this reason. There are legal agencies who may have to appear before this man, and they catch a lot of trouble.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure that her question... Was yours a question, or you said the browns have
statement,
the same...
I said in support. I said the Browns and the same judge too. We are
right.
involved
right.
in that.
You know what? Judge Crawford gives you help too. I won't call the guy. Okay. Okay. The third thing, I just want to mention in essence here. This is possibly the dialogue. Hopefully that we can get back to this point. In the month of April, most appointments in San Diego City school system are made here in the city in April, not in June, not in September when schools is out in June. Now, there's a need to bring this back for discussion because, as you know, blacks are pushing very strong to get not only a curriculum but black administrators in the school.
If I can handle that right now, when is the agenda committee meeting?
Wednesday.
Is the consideration that we took up when George Hall asked for a vacation back on the agenda or not? George, they will handle that.
Thank
they
you.
Have also
okay.
Considered that. I know what you were referring
right.
to. Is it time to bring him back because of the election, and, I mean appointment, et cetera?
Please.
It's a hot issue to be.
I'm saying, what does he mean by the business of the judge? Did you want something from the news media in that?
Well, he was just making an announcement.
No, it was merely an announcement. It was not a request
right
to the news media.
Right
yeah. Well, I think he probably...
I want to know what he wants.
They may want to
take some involvement from us.
At a later point.
Right away, news. What about the judge? That's what we're here for.
All right, any other announcements? Have it? Wait a minute. This is a good meeting this morning, and we got fired up. Last time we were dead.
An announcement dealing with the motel and restaurant industry that we are concerned about. And I'm asking for more support in this effort from the Brown, because we were concerned about a black and brown coalition in this particular industry. We meet on Saturdays at the Elks Club.
Commercial
and Hensley.
Between 28th and?
Yeah, 29th.
Okay.
Saturday at 2 p.m. Now, we're not, we are, if we're concerned about a city in motion, then blacks, browns, and whites should be concerned and involved in this particular thing. If we're sincere, and if we have been listening, and if we're in tune with the pulse, then blacks, browns, whites, and all others will become involved in the hotel, motel, restaurant industry concern that we're in, not in the basement or in the kitchen, but in public contact position.
Gotcha.
Tomorrow we made a presentation to the city council for a position statement from the city. We received a reply from the city manager's office, but of a position of the city council in February 1968. But this resolution confined itself only to civil service employment. We're not asking the city to
not too long now
direct the
not too long, Jim.
Well, all right. Well,
give
I'm through.
Just the announcement.
I'm through. Sorry.
2 o'clock tomorrow at
Elks Club. Yes.
I have one announcement to make too. There is a meeting of the Association of Mexican American Educators being held in town this weekend. This is supposedly going to be a national organization. It's in the offing. However, much to my regret, I hate to say that the association is holding its meeting at one of the hotels where you cannot find the grounds.
Oh,
no, there is all I'm saying is that the association is holding a meeting, that this is the type of coverage that the news should be engaged in, because it's are the good Mexicans that don't stir too much trouble, but we hope that at least that much would be covered. At the same time, I'm saying that unfortunately, perhaps they will get discredited now at a place where actually this type of foundation should have never taken place.
Make bold issues new. Do you have an outfit, Art?
Yes, mention was made of civil service and the current, so-called current report on ethnic employment in the city has been released. The newspapers did a pretty good snow job of covering up with a headline that says minority city job success toll. If you read the fine print, there's actually city motion in motion is going backwards on this.
Yeah. Yep.
I'd like to have an agenda item for the dialogue as soon as possible, analyze this and find out who's covering up who and who's protecting who in this thing and lay the whole issue on the table.
The agenda committee will be authorized to accept that and make your own recommendations, set it up. In other words, you work independent of the body except the body agrees that that should be an appropriate item. Any objections to that?
That's a report that's filed with the FEPC
right.
annually, I think.
Yes.
Okay, also at that time, just for notation for staff, could you please invite at that time other civil service agency other than the city for that one item on the agenda, please? I think they
the
should.
The agenda committee, would you take note, all of you, through Susie, take note of the comments relating to that. You got it? That's your agenda. You kept your cool earlier. Okay, go ahead and ask the question.
I had noticed that the city has just hired, not the city, but the city attorney has hired a black secretary, which is supposed to be the first black confidential secretary the city has ever had. And out of the paper, I noticed there was this much in the paper. And all it said was her name. It didn't say what she was, who she was, or anything. And I just wanted to find out why.
Well, first, let's get the facts, you know, the facts of the matter. First, black secretary, confidential secretary.
As far as I know, I'm
all right.
Black confidential
executive secretary, right?
As far as I know.
Okay. Your point is it was not made news, right?
Right.
Except in, all right. Do we have anybody here to react to that?
Nobody writing.
It was not.
Somebody could ask whether it should have been made news, maybe. Right. It might you might prejudice her chances of success by making it too much news. Mm-hmm. You might raise that question. I'm not sure.
When Paulette Johnson went to work for Mandela and it was made news, I don't think it was.
Carol, I guess I better say what I can about that. I wasn't aware of that fact. I've been on this job 2 weeks now. I'm not wasn't aware of that fact until maybe a couple of days ago in a listing of minority race employees and the kinds of things that had been done to promote or to in-service train and that sort of thing. I honestly don't know when that appointment took place, so I can't answer why it wasn't made a special point of. I'm also not sure right at this moment that really it's the thing to make a big hoopty-do about. I don't know yet. So I guess what I'm saying is that if you're looking for some office to say you should have done it, you have to look at... I'm not looking at anything the city. I'm just talking about the news media. They probably didn't know about it. They may why not... Why are they getting the paper?
They're saying it was in the paper, but it was not funny.
I'll try to get an answer to that, Carol.
Well, one of the reasons, Mr. Chairman, I think is that we have hollered for the past 10 years with identified ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, if we want to revert, then we can.
I think it needs to be verified later. See you in 2 weeks.